This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, this is Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 27 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we continue with our discussion around what is possibly the most controversial marriage in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we said in his lifetime, no one ever criticized him, not a Muslim, not a non-Muslim, not a Jew, not a Christian. None of them criticized him in his marriage to Aisha, in his marriage to Sauda, in his marriage to any of the other women that he married. However, this marriage, the marriage between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zainab binti Jahsh, this was controversial and this was a very awkward marriage in his lifetime. In the last episode we mentioned that Zainab was a cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. She was a woman that was extremely sought after. She had a very high opinion of herself. She was an early convert. She was given to a lot of worship and ibadah. And in particular, because she ran a business, a leather tanning business, she was a craftswoman, she was very given to charity. Initially the Prophet ﷺ married her and insisted that she marries his adopted son Zayd ibn Haritha. And the two of them got married, but there was an unhappiness between them. And there was constant, basically, fighting and argumentation between one another. But they married according to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After they got married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Zayd and Zainab will not last. And when Zayd divorces Zainab, you are going to marry her. And we said this was awkward because to marry the... It's not permissible for you to marry the ex-wife of your son. And in their context, they saw adopted sons. Everyone saw Zayd as the Prophet's biological son. Of course, he was not the biological son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to use this marriage to clarify the matter. So Zayd comes to the Prophet ﷺ complaining about Zainab again and again and again. And the Nabi ﷺ knows in the back of his mind, if Zayd divorces her, then I have to marry Zainab, and this is going to be a very big, you know, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be a scandalous. So he would keep telling Zayd, you keep your wife. Because so long as Zayd is with Zainab, then he doesn't have to be with Zainab. And so this continues for a while, for about 2 years. Eventually though, the marriage gets to a point where Zayd can no longer maintain being married to her, and then he divorces her. And it is on account of this divorcing of Zayd, when Zayd divorces Zainab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and remember, this is in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 37. Allah says, and remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you sit to the one whom Allah bestowed favor, and you bestowed favor, meaning Zayd, the one that Allah helped and you helped, you said to him, keep your wife and fear Allah, while you concealed within yourself, you kept hidden in yourself that which Allah was going to make apparent. And you feared, you were shy of the people, while Allah has more right that you should fear him. Now these are very stern words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why Aisha says, if the Prophet peace be upon him could ever, had he ever wanted to conceal a verse from Allah, this would have been the verse that he would kept hidden. Because here Allah is saying, you knew something and you kept telling Zayd to maintain that marriage, but you knew eventually you'll have to marry Zainab, and you were shy of what the people would say, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more befitting that you should be fearful of him. So then Zayd divorces Zainab, her iddah continues, and then the Prophet ﷺ says to Zayd, go speak to Zainab and tell her that I'm, you know, mention me to her, meaning mention that I would like to marry her. So Zayd comes and Zayd says, now he, look, they were married together, and he comes to her house and he says the fact that she was now to be married to the Prophet ﷺ, or that the Prophet peace be upon him had intentions to marry her, he couldn't even look at her because of the honor and the izzah, because she's not yet the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, but just the fact that he's interested her in this way, he turned his back and he mentioned that, look, the Prophet ﷺ is basically proposing to you. So Zainab says that she wants to perform istikhara salah and ask Allah for guidance in this matter. And while she performs istihara salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses to answer her in her istihara salah. So in the next verse, Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, so when Zayd had no longer any need of her, and this is where Allah mentions Zayd's name. So Allah says his name, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ, that once Zayd divorced her, we married, Allah says, we have married her to you, we married Zainab to you, O Muhammad, Why? In order that there not be upon the believers any confusion or discomfort concerning the wives of their adopted sons when they no longer have need of them. And ever is the command of Allah to come to pass. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, this is not to be upon the Prophet any discomfort concerning that which Allah has imposed upon him. This is how Allah does things, the established way of Allah with the Prophets before. Meaning, O Muhammad, this is something you don't have any choice in. Allah says, we have married her to you. She is your wife. What's amazing about Zainab is that there was no nikah. There was no dowry. Aisha says, Zainab was a very proud woman. And to a degree, we said that she had this degree of self-vanity. There was one shortcoming in her. She had a very high opinion of herself. And one of the things which she really let the other wives know, she says, you know, your brothers and fathers gave you off in marriage. You had a nikah. Whereas as for my marriage, Allah says, we have married her to you. Meaning there was no nikah. Allah performed that nikah. That He made her the Prophet's wife, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah says to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as we mentioned, he was very reluctant. He didn't want to really enter into this marriage because it was awkward for him. Because people would start talking about this. So Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should not feel any discomfort. This is the way Allah has done with the Prophets before. That you don't, you are Nabi, you obey Allah, even in your marriages. So Allah says, there should be no discomfort concerning that which Allah has imposed upon him. This is the way of Allah with those before, meaning the Anbiya before. And ever is the commandment of Allah will come to pass. Allah's decree will always happen, no matter how much you try. So the Prophet ﷺ, in his own way, he tried to delay this inevitability by saying to Zayd, keep Zainab, keep her, keep her. But of course Allah says, nothing you do. If Allah has decreed something, ultimately it will come to pass. So Zainab is now married to the Prophet ﷺ. We take a moment here to discuss a spurious narrative. Spurious meaning a narrative that is sort of almost rejected. One that is has no proper foundation. And we find this narration not by those looking to harm Islam. We find it in some of the very classical books of history, another interpretation or narration as to how the Prophet ﷺ married Zainab. But of course this, and we will explain why we reject this view. So this view in Al-Waqidi, he's a famous historian, Al-Waqidi writes in his history of the Prophet ﷺ, and At-Tabari, one of the great scholars of tafsir, when he explains these ayat, he gives the exegesis or the interpretation of these ayat. He says, so how the story goes, he says that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ insisted Zainab get married. So they got married and they're living together in their house. So then the Prophet ﷺ wanted to visit Zayd. He comes to Zayd's house, but Zayd isn't there. And Zainab, when she hears it's the Nabi ﷺ, she jumps up and she opens the door and she's not dressed appropriately. She's basically dressed in a, you know, in a nightie or something like a shift. And the Prophet ﷺ turns away immediately. He doesn't look at her, but he murmurs some words. And Zainab hears what he says, and he says, Subhanallah, like praise, glory to Allah who changes the heart. So as if to indicate that all of a sudden I saw Zainab and my heart, you know, became, you know, entranced by her from this narration. And the Prophet ﷺ leaves, he doesn't say anything. So then Zainab waits for Zayd to come home. She explains the story, and Zayd now understands, oh, that which the Nabi ﷺ said meant that he desires you. So now Zayd says, I can't be near you anymore. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ looks at you in that way, khalas, I can't approach you anymore. I don't want you as my wife. So then Zayd goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, look, Ya Rasulullah, I know you saw her in that way. Let me divorce her. And the Prophet keeps saying to him, no, keep your wife, keep your wife. Eventually Zayd can no longer stand this. He divorces her and the Prophet ﷺ marries Zainab. Now this narration, for a number of reasons, we can say is rejected. We reject this narration for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, for us as Muslims, we believe that this is appropriate for the Nabi ﷺ. But beyond that, even for non-Muslims, if they read this, and you might find these kind of stories on anti-Islamic websites, they like to quote this story. How do we explain this? We say the first thing is that this story has no authentic chain of narrations. This version has no chain of narrations that's authentic. The other version, the version that we spoke about, where Allah has revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, marry Zainab, the Prophet doesn't want to marry her, but he's forced into it until Zayd divorces her. This you find in the books of hadith, which are authenticated, which have chains of narrations. So we have a very, very reliable story versus a story which has no authentication to it. That's the first reason we can reject it on that account. Second thing, just think about this. Zainab is now about 35 years old. She's been married now to Zayd. The Prophet وسلم knew her all his life, from when she was a teenager to a young woman, in their context, and subhanAllah, even in our context, if you are in your mid-30s, you're like past your prime for a lady. So it's very odd that the Prophet ﷺ would see her once and feels fall madly in love with her when he's seen her all her life, and he had all the opportunity, you know, throughout his life to propose to her if he desired her, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's become so in awe of her. And also remember, when she was younger, before the rules of hijab came down, there was no dress code for women, so the women walked around without much clothing to begin with. So all of a sudden, for this to occur, it doesn't really make sense. It's also out of character for the Prophet ﷺ. We also say that the Prophet was the one to begin with that insisted that Zainab and Zayd marry. Zainab didn't want to marry Zayd. And if the Prophet ﷺ wanted to marry her back then, it was the perfect opportunity. Why insist Zayd marry her? Why insist Zayd keep her? This, you know, it doesn't make sense. The facts basically don't add up. And also, ultimately, when we look at what, as I said, is the nail in the coffin here, when we look at the hadith in Bukhari, where Aisha tells us that if the Prophet could hide any verse, he would hide the verse that said, you concealed what Allah had revealed. So here, we know from the ayah of the Quran, Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, you will marry Zainab. And the Prophet didn't want to basically let this be known. And he had to, of course, as the Nabi, he has to relay the message of Allah. He can't keep it hidden, but it was a verse that he himself internally wished he could hide. He basically saying he did not want to marry Zainab. Aisha is telling us here, he did not want to marry Zainab, and he was basically forced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah further clarifies, O Prophet, don't feel bad. I've done this with other prophets before you, and there's a reason, there's a wisdom behind here. You might not like the attention, you might not like that people will be talking about you, but ultimately the reason for this is that now the laws of orphans and the lineage of orphans is clearly known. Once this marriage occurred, now it became very clear that your adopted children were not biological children. So if I adopt a son, that son can marry my daughter. That son can marry my wife if we are not, la samahallah, if we are not together, because he's not my biological son. And now we, subhanAllah, in modern days, or modern science with genetics, we know the importance of genetics. We know that just because you have a certain name or you grew up in a house, if you share different DNA, then you are completely separated. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically coming, you know, bringing about from this marriage. So khalas, Zainab is divorced from Zayd. Allah commands the Prophet ﷺ to marry her. Not even marry her. Allah says, you are now married. They are now husband and wife by decree of Allah. So they are now married without a nikah, without any dowry. And Zainab, as we said, is very proud about this. So now she joins the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said she was about 35 years old. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about 58 years old. This was in the 5th year of the Hijrah, meaning that they will only be married for about 5 years or 6 years before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a few rules and few narrations pertaining to Zainab. So one of the first things that, you know, once Zainab becomes the wife of the Prophet, something very interesting happened in Bukhari and Muslim. We find that at her walima, so even though the nikah was performed by Allah, the Prophet ﷺ still had a walima, a reception. And it's a sunnah in when you get married to give a reception. One of the Sahaba, he had married a woman, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, bumped into him in the road, and the Prophet ﷺ saw on him that he was, you know, he was dressed up, and he had on his hair, he had perfume. So perfume that time would be like powder, and he had this perfume in his hair. So the Prophet ﷺ asked Abdurrahman, like, why are you all dressed up? So Abdurrahman said, you know, I basically got married to an Ansari girl a few days ago, basically. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, if you get married, you should have a walima, you should have a reception, you should invite people and feed them some food. At the very least, you should slaughter one animal if you can afford to do so. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he married Zainab, he also gave a wedding feast, a walima. And this story is narrated by his, you know, side, you know, his student Anas, or his personal PA. So Anas, again, lovely story about Anas. Anas is a young boy. The Prophet ﷺ comes to Medina, and people give the Prophet some gifts. Some people bring food, some people bring clothing. You know, the Nabi ﷺ has come to town. A lady comes, and she says, this is my boy Anas. He's 6 years old. I want to give Anas to you. He must be your servant. So Anas becomes the servant of the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years. So Anas says, I was 6 years old when I became his servant, and I stayed with him for 10 years until he died. And in that 10 years, not once did the Prophet ﷺ ever say, oh Anas, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? He never spoke harshly to me. And Anas loved this. He got the honor to spend lots of intimate time with the Prophet ﷺ because he's like his squire. He got that honor. He's like his PA. So Anas says, the day that the Prophet married Zainab, the Prophet said to me, yeah, there's a wedding, I would like to have a wedding feast. Call the people, whoever you find, call them to my house to have, to eat from it. And the Prophet had basically just a small plate of dates and honey and yogurt. And Anna said, I went and whichever person I got in the road, I called them. And basically like the whole of Medina came. And this is a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, that all of them would eat and they would go and the food wouldn't diminish. Now, everyone eats and they leave, and they eat and they leave. And then a group of 3 people remained, and they started chit-chatting, and they sat there, and they talking. And the Prophet ﷺ is with Zainab. He just got married. It's the husband and wife went to be alone. But now the Prophet ﷺ is waiting for these 3 men to get done and leave. But they are continuing on well beyond their welcome. So the Prophet ﷺ gets up, and he goes and visits all his other wives to check on them. The Prophet ﷺ leaves, he visits his wives, he checks on them, they greet him and they say, and I guess I can imagine through gritted teeth, Aisha is saying, Alaykum Salaam. The Prophet says, how are you? She says, I'm fine. And then she says, how did you find your new wife? And he says, fine. So, you know, obviously this is not something that any wife would enjoy, that your husband takes a second wife or another wife. And then the Prophet comes back to Zainab's house and then he still finds these 3 men and he's too shy to tell them to leave. But eventually they get up and they leave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses about this. And Allah says, basically, that it is not appropriate for you to enter the house of the Prophet ﷺ without his permission. And that if you are invited, that you should just come there to eat and you leave. You don't sit beyond that. That what you do, some things that you do, you disturb and you annoy the Prophet ﷺ, but he's too much of a shy person to tell you to go. But Allah is not shy to let you know the truth. So understand this. And then Allah also revealed in this verse, these verses, that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they should be partitioned and screened. That no one should be alone with them, or not alone, no one should even see them except behind a curtain. So this is what we call the ayah of hijab, where the physical hijab, this higher level of hijab between the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and the strange men, was, and this is exclusive for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And also Allah mentions in this ayah that after he passes away, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ may not marry any other man besides him. So these rules came down with regards to the walima of Zainab. So let's look a little bit about how Zainab adjusted to being part of the household of the Nabi ﷺ and how she fitted in with the other wives. As we said, Zainab was extremely strong-willed and she had a bit of a temper and she was extremely dramatic. And she was beautiful, and she was passionate, and she was very proud, and a high self-confidence. And I said, it's amazing, when you look at the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, the vast majority of them would be very strong women, very vocal women, women that would even argue, and they would even, even to the Prophet ﷺ, they would speak their mind. And these are the best of women. So Zainab, naturally, you can imagine, her personality was going to clash, especially with Aisha, who was very similar. So Aisha says to us about Zainab that Zainab was a very proud woman and she was very proud with her marriage to the Prophet ﷺ. She was a bit boastful in that regard and she loved being with the Prophet ﷺ and he enjoyed her company as well. And then Aisha explains also why. But Zainab also was highly pious. Aisha says Zainab was someone who was often fasting and often praying, and she was the most generous of all of us, basically. So again, the love that the Prophet ﷺ has for Zainab is also out of her taqwa. Once the Prophet ﷺ comes to the masjid, when I say masjid, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ had a private area to make salah. So they had their own kind of masjid. And he comes into this masjid and he finds between the 2 trees a rope. And he says, what's this rope? Why is there a rope between the 2 trees? So they said, no, this is Zainab's rope. That when Zainab is making tahajjud and she begins to feel sleepy, she hangs onto this rope. Now, subhanAllah, what kind of piety is this? Right? And then, so this is her level of taqwa. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, you shouldn't do this. That if you are tired, make tahajjud, and if you're tired, remove it. As we said, Zainab continued running her business even as the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she still had a business. So for those who think that, you know, can a woman work? Yeah, you have the wife of the Prophet ﷺ doing manual work with her hands. She had a workshop and she would have pots and, you know, leather. She was making things and she would sell them, but this money she would use it in charity. And she was very fond, as we said, of spending time with the Prophet ﷺ. You know, he would come visit her and she would sort of pamper him. She would brush his hair and she would collect his hair in this brass pot. So this is her, we'll talk more inshallah in our next episode in terms of the relationship between Zainab and the Prophet ﷺ and the relationship between Zainab and the other wives. And we'd find there was a lot of tension at times between Aisha and Zainab. One, I leave you with this one narration, that it was the custom of the Prophet ﷺ that he obviously would visit, all his wives, and then he would spend the evening with one of them, and then tomorrow it was someone else. So naturally you waited about nine, to the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he had about nine wives, so you had to wait basically nine nights before it was your turn again. So Anas narrates that it was basically Aisha's turn, it was her evening, and the Prophet ﷺ is with Aisha, and the other wives were invited for supper. So they all come over, and the Prophet is with Aisha, and then Zainab walks in. And when Zainab walks in, the Prophet ﷺ puts his hand out as if to bring her close, and Aisha doesn't like this, because look, it's Aisha's night. So Aisha says sternly to the Prophet ﷺ, "That is Zainab, you know, by the way, that's Zainab. It's my night." She's implying to him, "It's my night, your attention should be on me only. You shouldn't have eyes for anyone else." So the Prophet ﷺ retracts his hand, he pulls his hand away, and basically focuses on Aisha. And now Zainab is not going to leave this. Zainab is not like Salama, she's not like Sauda. Zainab basically starts screaming at Aisha, like, "What's wrong with you? And what? So what if he wants to take my hand? What's it to you?" And Aisha is not going to keep quiet either. So she starts screaming back at Zainab. And they scream so loud that the people in the road can hear. And the Prophet is sitting quietly between the two of them, these two women shouting at each other. And the Prophet is sitting there, and the Iqama, Bilal gives the Iqama, and the Prophet jumps up and leaves. So it was like, you know, saved by the bell, saved by Bilal. And as he leaves, Abu Bakr walks by, and it's Aisha's house. Abu Bakr says, "Ya Rasulullah, leave these women, come for salah, and throw sand in their mouths." So the Prophet ﷺ is saved by Bilal. He goes to perform salah, and when the salah is done, Abu Bakr slips into the house, and Aisha says, "Abu Bakr comes to my house." Obviously he can, because he's my father, and he starts, you know, giving me a harsh word, stern words, telling me like, how can you behave like that? The people in the road can hear you. Don't you have manners? So he basically gives his daughter an earful. And this is the relationship we'll begin to see. There's many, many more of these narrations between Zainab and Aisha. They're going to have lots of matches between each other. We'll continue in our next episode. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for questions, concerns, comments. wishmuhammad@gmail.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.